Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose of God. And this 15-minute empowerment, you're going to be encouraging that walk of faith, encouraging the process, encouraging how God will take our everyday life, everyday situations, grow us, stretch us, make us, transform us, bring a truth to us, cause us to recognize errors and places in our life where we need to change or be delivered or even need knowledge and information there to do better. This there place that I'm talking about allows us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's a place as an Abraham walk. Abraham was called by God to that there place, and that there process is a place of faith. And by that place of faith and that walk of faith, Abraham became the father of faith, because he was able to see, grab, and receive and believe something that no one else could see, that God showed him in the spirit that manifests through Jesus Christ. And that place of faith is the place that he grew in, he developed in. Well, the Bible lets us know in Galatians 3 that if we have the faith of Abraham, that we are the seed of God, the seed of righteousness, and we receive all the promises, blessings of God, because we receive Jesus. We see Jesus, and we receive Jesus by faith, that faith that believed as Abraham did. And that walk of faith that we have is one where we produce a faith that says we see the impossible, we believe for the impossible, and we know the manifestation is going to happen. So this is our there place, and God is calling us there, line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth. He's working in us, working through us. And when he calls a family, an individual, a nation, a tribe for his glory, he uses them. He gets the glory out of them. He does what he wills, and he does it because he's God. We've been in the book of Proverbs most of this year, and this book has been a book of that's been giving us nuggets and giving us information and giving us understanding about how to live, because the book of Proverbs and Proverbs 1 lets us understand that it was written so that we can be skilled, so that we can know how to act in every situation. And there have been situations we have not known how to act. We have not known how to handle that situation wisely with the God's wisdom, with God's knowledge, with God's understanding that was given to us by Solomon, as God downloaded his mind into Solomon so that we can learn how to act in every circumstance and know how to solve those problems and handle pressure, handle places where we need to come up with an answer immediately, or how to conduct ourselves wisely. So this book gives us what we need as we study it, as the Word of God does, but it gives us the wisdom so that we can know how to act skillfully, know how to act in a way that looks like God and gives his wisdom in its difficult places in different areas of our lives, and shows who he is and not who we are, shows his wisdom, show his knowledge, show his strength. We started talking yesterday about thoughts, and we understand that our thoughts lead us. The issues of our heart flow from what we've been thinking, what we've been pondering, the direction of our feet, what we see, what we know. So we want to make sure that our thoughts are thoughts that are honorable, that are good, that look like God, and don't allow us to get into places or situations where we could have thought something different, done something better, if we had a different thought pattern, if we aligned ourselves more to righteousness. Proverbs 21:5 says this: the thoughts of the diligent tend only to pleasantness, but to everyone that is hasty, only to want. And so when we look at that proverb, when we understand that proverb, it talks about diligent plans and how these diligent plans lead to profit, and that they are those who are surely to run to haste, it leads to poverty. And that's talking about how we plan out things, how we think out things, how we conduct things. Are we swift to act without thinking it out? Are we swift to make decisions without really putting the thought in it or the consequences that will happen later on? Are we quick to make hasty decisions when it comes to money or how we spend money or the use of money, and not understanding that later on, if we have not done it the right way, thought about it the right way, used it the right way, that it will lead to poverty in an area of our lives? We have to be careful that we put that our plans that we put thought into our plans, that we plan ahead for in the long run, that we don't hurry or scurry to put little thought or no thought into things that causes our future to be put behind, that causes our fortune to be put behind, that causes our life to be put behind. So our thoughts, even when it comes to money and how we spend money and what we plan to do with that money, it's that's part of wisdom. That's part of wisdom. If we want to get ahead, it's more to it than just working hard. It's the thought process of how we handle the money and what we do to it. Planning typically leads to plenty, and hastiness leads to poverty. If it's the wrong plan, then it's going to be the wrong plan that is going to lead us down a road that we don't want to. But if we acknowledge God in our plans and put Him first, then the Lord will cause us to prosper in the way that we're handling some things and the way we're handling money. And He won't allow us to have an expense that's going to cost us more in the future than it is right now if we waited, if we just listened to wisdom. So we want to make sure that even in our thought process is dealing with money, that we want to be diligent, that we want to plan it out, that we want to make sure that we're doing it the right way, the right timing, and that we're just not being hasty because it feels good, that we're moved by emotions or excitement or the thrill or the idea of having some money there, that we're using it the right way, doing the right things with it, and that we're making plans for our future. We want to make sure that we're doing that also. And as you know, when we were younger, if someone had talked to us and told what I'm speak to me, if someone had talked to me and told me more about the thought process and the planning of money, I would have made better decisions. Now that I'm older and wiser, I think about my future in a different light and I see it in a different way. When I was 18 years old, 16 years old, it was totally different. Now I understand that money and planning for money and how I spend money and what I do with money, it has a lot to do with what I'm planting and what my future is going to produce. Okay, so we want to make sure we do that. Proverbs 24:9 says, "The thoughts of the foolish, the scorner, and the scorner is an abomination to men." What this is basically saying is this: that whoever plots, whoever is known as a schemer, all this scheming is this folly. It is sin. Okay, it is basically sin, and people will detest a mocker. People detest you. You don't want to have a reputation where people trust you because you're always scheming and you're always plotting and you're always mocking and you're always manipulating. You want to be someone that your reputation speaks well of you, your character speaks well of you, and people say, "I don't care about that." Well, it goes a long way. When people start to talk about who you are and they say what type of person you are, that means a lot when someone is going to put you in charge of a group of people or a project or a certain situation, or you're going to be involved in certain things. It speaks a lot about the character and the integrity that you have, what kind of person that you are. And you want that to be something that someone says about you, especially if you name the name of Jesus Christ. You don't want them to say that you're a crooked person, that you're always cooking up evil, that you're always doing wrong, that you're always plotting and planning and manipulating and gossiping, that you want a reputation that basically is a good one. And you want to do this because you don't want to be considered to be someone that people don't want to be around or don't want to be involved with or don't want to have in their circle as far as doing something wonderful in the community, on the job. You want to have a reputation that looks honorable. And so in doing that, you have to make sure that you allow God to work on the places in your life that are not pleasing, that are not. And all of us have places that God has to work on. It's up to us to determine whether or not we're going to allow Him to do it. Allow Him to take the word and work inside of us. Allow our minds to change. Allow us to build something else. We might have been taught that. We might have seen that. We might have been around people and that's what they did. We might not have known what it was to have a reputation or a character of integrity, one that speaks to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we've not allowed him to work on us and get those things out of us. So, you know, we want to represent God well in all aspects. What we do in church and how people like us and what we do in the face of people does not matter when they see the part of us that we think that no one else sees. When they see that attitude, when they see how you really treat people, how you can be petty and how you can do things that make people feel a certain way. Because one thing about it, a leper doesn't change spots. And who you really are, you might be able to hide it, and it might come out every now and then, but as you go on, it will come out more and more and more and more. So you want God to work on those places so that you don't get in a place where God has set you at and they see something that turns them off, that gives them a wrong impression, that makes them believe that what you're living is a double standard, that you have a standard for when you're in the presence of certain people and then another one when you're not. You want them to see the same character that looks like Jesus, that is getting and growing more and more like him and producing that same kind of fruit. So you really want him to work on you in all aspects. You don't want to be named with someone that is wicked, that is a mocker, that has a bad reputation, that is dishonest, someone that can't be trusted, someone that people don't want to be around. You don't want to be named among that. You want to be named among people that say, I'm living for God the best that I can, and I'm asking every day to help me, to show me, to teach me, and to reprove me and refine me so that what's inside of me looks more and more like him. Proverbs, the 30th chapter says this: if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon their own mouth. Lay thy hand upon their own mouth. And this is something that really, really, really hit me, because it talks about self-evaluation. It talks about you yourself now evaluating you, knowing who you are, being honest, being someone that says, you know what, no one can tell me about me. I can't lie to me about me. I know I did it. I said it. I thought it. I know that I didn't do the right thing here, and I need God to really help me. I'm getting my own self. I'm making my own self accountable. I'm holding my own self accountable to righteousness, to the word of God. And when you do this, it is a place of real self-discipline. It's a place where of growing in maturity. Everybody can't do that. Most people blame other people for why they act, say, or do something. That person or that event or this was the cause of my words, my actions, my thought, my attitude, my gratitude. And whenever you are able to be mature enough to say, I myself am putting myself on the carpet, I'm pulling my own shirt tail, I'm getting myself together, I'm seeing this is a place that I need to pray and put myself on the altar and say, God, I need work here. And when you are able to do that, it shows maturity. It shows that you're able to handle something that other people cannot. If you play the fool and examine yourself, even when you're plotting, even when you're trying to exalt your own self, even when you're doing things like that, if you start examining yourself, I promise you, what you do righteously and honestly and truthfully, you will see yourself in the light of the word and the light of God's power, and you say, God, I need work right here. I need to examine myself, and you will be able to put your hand on your own mouth for saying or doing something that's wrong. The Message Bible says it this way: if you're dumb enough to call attention yourself by offending people and making rude gestures, don't be surprised if someone bloodies your nose. Curd milk turns into butter. Churned milk turns into butter. Ruffled emotions turn to a fist fight. So that's letting you know right there, responsibility. Proverbs is full of wisdom about your mouth and your attitude and how you behave and what you say and how you conduct yourself. And so we really, really need to make sure that we're being responsible when we know that we said the wrong thing, had the wrong attitude, that we pull our own tail, that we put our hand over our own mouth, that we get ourselves together before it leads to something that we don't want it to. We don't want to ruin relationships. We don't want to ruin lives. We want to make sure it looks like we look like Christ. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Favor Life and Empowerment. God bless you.